Welcome to the Profit Podcast, everything NFL and fantasy football related all year long, with your host, Calvin Wright.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Profit Podcast, week 15, the first week of the fantasy football playoffs. It's in the books, and boy, was it absolutely insane. It was really one of the worst weeks of fantasy football I can remember. And I've been playing fantasy football. This is my 11th season, I believe, 11th or 12th. And I don't remember a week of fantasy football this bad, especially in the playoffs. First week of the playoffs. I mean, there were so many high-profile stars that have carried your team all season who just completely busted. I wrote down, I posted this on Twitter. This was actually my own research. I mean, it's not really research. I just went through and looked at some of the biggest busts, but one of the crazier stats I found was the players who had the worst games of their season this past week in the playoffs. Michael Pittman with 1 point, Michael Carter, 3 points, Amari Cooper, 2.8, Najee Harris, 4.6, Deontay Johnson, 9.8, Chase Claypool, 1.9, Joe Mixon, 7, Jamar Chase, 1.3, Jerry Jeudy, 0, Cordarrelle Patterson, 4.3, Tom Brady, 4.7, Mike Evans, 2.4, Rob Gronkowski, 4.9, Alvin Kamara, 5.10. Those are all players who were started in the majority of leagues who had their worst week of the season this past week in the fantasy football playoffs. So it was a really crazy week, really brutal week. But Jalen Hurts pulled through like he always does. Jalen Hurts, absolute fantasy football machine. He's one of the fantasy football MVPs this year. He's currently, I believe, the number 6 overall quarterback, which is phenomenal for where he was drafted. This past week, though, number 1 quarterback was Tyler Huntley. Jalen Hurts was number 3. Patrick Mahomes in between them two. And I had hyped up Justin Fields. I was saying I was starting him over several different quarterbacks. And, you know, he finishes the number 10 quarterback. It wasn't great, 14 points, but that was enough for a top 10 finish. Came on one of the most garbage play touchdowns I have seen in my life. It was the most garbage time I've ever seen. It was as time expires, game's completely out of their reach. He fires just, 20-yard pass the end zone is caught. So I genuinely won a matchup with that play. So I was very nervous when they initially called it no touchdown. I thought they weren't going to review it. They did. They got the call right. But I don't think it's best to dwell too long on week 15. It was frustrating for everyone. We all know which players busted, absolutely. And I really don't feel like there's a ton of takeaways fantasy football-wise. I don't have a reason to believe that that will continue, except for the fact that it seems that COVID tearing through the NFL and having so much little depth for these teams, this might be playing a part. I don't know exactly why it happened, but there isn't a player that busted that I'm more concerned about than the other players who busted. It was just a terrible week. You know, kudos to you if you managed to play through it. If you didn't, if you lost, congratulations on a good season of fantasy football. This was a good season, and it was a tough way to go out. But without further ado, I think we should get into a little analysis fantasy-wise. Players that I'm really concerned about, not just for this season, but for really their future. Terry McLaurin and Antonio Gibson. We will never see their ceiling unless there's a decent quarterback. But, I mean, especially Antonio Gibson, his career is going to waste away if they don't get a quarterback soon. I mean, this would really be third year. Next year is going to be his third year. He's already dealt with some injuries. They need a good quarterback, or else we will never really see a true Antonio Gibson, you know, great fantasy season. So in fantasy-wise, I was kind of done with him early on in the season. You know, the reports about the injury, the efficiency was dreadful. I traded him away wherever I owned him, and I said on here, hey, I'm done with Antonio Gibson. He came back after several weeks gone, and he was looking a lot better. We thought maybe the injury was healed up, but last night he re-injured the toe and he was less efficient than ever, 1.7 yards a carry, which is atrocious. But what I think what worries me most is, you know, I think what worries me is Terry McLaurin. That's what worries me most, because We all know he's uber talented. We all know he's an incredibly talented receiver. We know that. That's not up for debate. And he very well could finish his season outside the top 24 at the wide receiver position, which would mean he was a wide receiver 3 this season. You've had some big games, but the consistency has been absolutely horrible. I mean, there hasn't been consistency whatsoever. And his floor has been atrociously low. 5 points, 0 points, 7 points. Good matchups, bad matchups. It hasn't mattered because Terry McLaurin doesn't have a consistent quarterback. This offense is, when they score, it's, you know, looks painful. They have to work twice as hard as any other team to find the end zone. So Terry McLaurin, it's interesting because if he doesn't get, you know, an Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson caliber quarterback in the offseason, I don't know if he can even be drafted next year as a wide receiver too. Because we keep saying Terry McLaurin doesn't matter. He'll overcome the quarterback position. But at some point, he can't. He can't overcome it. It's like Allen Robinson. He can't overcome it anymore. And, you know, if you have him in Dynasty or Keeper League, you better hope they get another quarterback who's better. Because if not, I don't see him as anything more but a mid-range wide receiver too. Mid-range wide receiver too. Which is tragic because if he had a decent quarterback, I think he'd instantly be top 10. I think he'd instantly be top 10. So hopefully he can get a quarterback. But Antonio Gibson, I mean, the day fantasy-wise was salvaged, 18 points. He got the touchdown and some, you know, receptions, but it wasn't good in real life if you watched. It wasn't good. Miles Sanders, we said buy low on Miles Sanders. He came through this past week in the playoffs and he put up a good game. He put up a good game. What was it, 16 total points was the total? I'll take it. Rush for over 7 yards of carry. Jalen Hurts took the goal line carries, which any league I had Miles Sanders starting, I also had Jalen Hurts, so it didn't hurt me. But yeah, we got a good game from Miles Sanders. The number 7 running back in this past week, so that buy low on Miles Sanders is looked good so far. Jalen Hurts keeps chugging along. He's a fantasy steal. Like I said, he'll probably be my quarterback fantasy MVP this season. Yeah, so great game from that guy. Cooper Kupp is absolutely ridiculous. I have to face him this week in my main league, and I think this will be the end of the line for me facing Cooper Kupp. My team's good. Don't get me wrong, but I don't think I can overcome a 34-point game from Cooper Kupp, which seems to be the only thing he can do. Kyler Murray, let's talk about that. That's worrisome. In the past few weeks, he has one touchdown, I believe. One touchdown in the past 2 weeks and 3 interceptions. That's not good. That's not what we wanted from Kyler Murray. Last time was really great was week 13 against Chicago. He missed a lot of time with an injury. He come back, and now he doesn't have DeAndre Hopkins, who is a massive part of this offense. Even if it hasn't been showing up fantasy-wise, he's a massive part of this offense. Now he gets to face Indianapolis, a strong defense and a team that's looking better and better every single week. Are we confident in Kyler Murray here in the playoffs? Here's what I'll say. He's a quarterback 1, mid-range. That's where I would put him. I don't think he's a high-end quarterback 1 right now. I think he's a mid-range to low-end quarterback 1, which isn't great, but that just means that he's still good enough that I'm not looking to stream a quarterback over Kyler Murray. That's where I have it. I don't expect to win a matchup because of Kyler Murray, and I think there's a decent chance he hurts you a bit, but I don't think you're going to find someone on the waivers that's going to be better than Kyler Murray. So that's how I'm valuing him right now. The running back position is a little bit of a mess now. James Conner, 6 carries. Chase Edmonds, 6 carries. Oh, boy. He's absent from practice with a heel injury. Fantasy football-wise, we would hope he plays because he's been a top 5 running back most of the season. But if he's playing, I am playing him still. I'm not too worried about Chase Edmonds just because this game wasn't a normal game. They were behind the whole game against Detroit, which is very weird. Kyler Murray was playing horribly. This was just kind of, I want to write it off and say this was an off game for Arizona, and I'm not going to substantially change my opinion of James Conner. Now, that being said, I don't think he's a top 5 guy right now because his snaps did go from, you know, 96% to 44%. and Chase Edmonds was involved. But I think that he's a high-end RB2, which is what I thought when James Conner came back. And based on this performance, I'm not moving him lower down than that. I think that Indianapolis, it will be a tough matchup, but I think he will rebound a bit. Goodness. Houston and Jacksonville, notable takeaways from that was James Robinson getting the ball. Who would have known? James Robinson's good. 4 yards a carry, 75 yards, and a touchdown against the Jets. I'm chasing the production, and I am starting James Robinson. Still, though, I'm not starting Trevor Lawrence or any of these passing options. You cannot make me do it. Brandon Cooks, absolute fantasy football playoff legend. We talked about it, actually, in the Playoff Savior podcast. I said, hey, both, it was Tyrod Taylor and Brandon Cooks were on that list. Tyrod Taylor injured again, so that's not happening. But Brandon Cooks, he is showing up as a playoff savior. Now, here's what is really crappy about this. What I just saw is Brandon Cooks is on the COVID-19 list, which, yeah. I can't do this. The COVID is destroying fantasy football so much right now. And it's taking the fun out of it, you know. That's what's really sucks is in the past when you lose, it's like, oh crap, their team was better, you know. And now it just, you assemble a roster, it's a good roster, and then all your players disappear the night before the game and you can't do anything. It's just really crappy. Brandon Cooks, I don't know about the vaccination status of him. I believe if he's not vaccinated, he's out 10 days, so he won't play. But there have been reports that say he is vaccinated with a booster, so things could be different if he's asymptomatic. Keep an eye on that. If Brandon Cooks is playing and he's back from COVID, I am 100% starting him as a wide receiver one in this week's game. Alrighty. A few more players we want to talk about. Najee Harris put up a horrible game. 4 points, worst game of his career, worst game of the season. Absolute fantasy dud. He gets Kansas City this coming week. And if you survived despite what Najee Harris did last week, I'm not worried about him. I survived two Najee Harris. I have in both leagues I'm in that I'm in the playoffs now. And I survived him in both. And, you know, against Kansas City, I think he'll have a better day. I think he'll get a better day. You know why? Because his season hasn't been built on efficiency. It's been built on volume. And I don't think that we see another 12-carry game for Najee Harris. I think that number will go back up to the mid-20s because that's what's happened when the Steelers have looked better. Najee Harris gets 20, 25 carries and 5 receptions. And I think that volume will return. And I think he'll be fine. Not because he'll be extremely efficient or get a touchdown, but just because with 25 carries, he's a talented enough guy, he'll have a good fantasy game. I'm not expecting massive games from Najee. I never have been. But I think that he will be very solid this coming week. So if you did survive the Najee Harris 4-point game, don't worry. Things will go back to normal, in my opinion. Cordarrelle Patterson is another where I'm not exactly worried about it. It just, I mean, it really came down to Russell Gage was ripping things apart. And I think Cordarrelle Patterson will get more involved. I think that they might be holding back a little bit, trying not to get him injured. They did say in a report that they were going to limit his touches near the end of the season. But hey, it's Detroit. And I'm starting everyone against Detroit. So I'm not worried about Cordarrelle Patterson. Now, Russell Gage is interesting because he has had some really solid games since Calvin Ridley left. 21 points against Tampa Bay, 18 against Jacksonville, and now 23 against San Francisco. It's against Detroit. Russell Gage should be started in every league this coming week. He should be started as your flex, as your wide receiver 3. And I'm seeing he's only rostered in 53% of your leagues, which is a shame. Started in 22%. That number needs to go up because Russell Gage, we know he's a good receiver. He's not a Julio or Calvin Ridley caliber, but he is good. And against Detroit, I know Detroit's coming off a win, but they're still an absolutely horrible defense. We can't have a recency bias and say, hey, they shut down the car. No, they're still a trash team. Russell Gage should be started with confidence, and so should Cordero Patterson. All righty. You know what's crazy? Kyle Hitz is very near to I think, being second in all-time rookie tight end yards, I believe. Which is crazy because he's considered a massive fantasy football bust because the touchdowns haven't been there. He has one touchdown on the season. That number is ridiculous. And first off, I think he'll get a touchdown and have 18-plus points against Detroit. We'll talk about that tomorrow probably. But next year, keep your eyes on Pitts because he's going to be underdrafted because he was overdrafted so much this previous year. But Kyle Pitts, if he's getting yardage and volume, which he is, the touchdowns will come. This is a generational talent player. So I'm not worried about Pitts long term. So if you're in a keeper league, try to buy low on him. You know, 11 points, no one's satisfied with that. Try to buy low on Pitts because no one is considering him as the future best tight end of all time. No one is thinking of him that, even though 4 or 5 months ago, that's what we all thought he was. So yeah, target Kyle Pitts. DK Metcalf, let's go over that situation. For some reason, Russell Wilson can't play quarterback when DK Metcalf's wide open. I don't get it. He saw 12 targets, a bunch of crappy targets, and he was missed a few times, wide open. He had about 6-7 yards on his guy. It would have been a touchdown. Russell Wilson just didn't make it. So what you got to do is say, for this year, DK's a wash because we can keep saying, oh, he's playing well and it's just Russell Wilson. Yes, but at some point, if the fantasy points aren't there, they aren't there. And I doubt many people have DK and are still in the playoffs. He's been an absolute bust second half of the season. But if you do, I would be fine benching him at this point. I'm moving on. I'm not valuing him. At this point, the only reason you would start him is because of that celebrity bias. It's DK Metcalf, big name. But honestly, you should be starting Russell Gage over DK Metcalf this week. So DK's starting 88% leagues, and he's got Chicago. It's not going to be a good game. And Lockett will probably be back. So get DK out of the matchup, stop having that celebrity bias, and start Russell Gage over him. For the Rams, Sony Michel is now the lead back. And Daryl Henderson is the relief back. You know, this isn't shocking. I said it, you know, like 8 months ago. I was like, I don't really believe Daryl Henderson will be the workhorse running back the whole season. Not because of who they have behind him, just because of who he is. He's never stayed healthy and produced all season as a workhorse back. He just hasn't. That's not the type of player he is. He's not bad, but that's not the type of player he is. Sony Michel finally got his chance, and he's looked great. So this will be a hot hand approach, and I don't think you can start Daryl Henderson this week in the playoffs. He's still starting over 50% of the leagues. Get him out of your lineup. It's going to be the Sony Michel show, and he will destroy your fantasy team. So get him out of your lineup. It's a high hand approach. I'm sorry, but honestly, Daryl Henderson owners, you're lucky it lasted that long. You are lucky it lasted that long. All right, I want to quickly mention a few things before we talk about the Thursday night game. I want to first off let you all know that if you leave a review of this podcast, either on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or you could do both and get double the entries, you'll automatically be entered to win this epic's not a good word anymore. It got ruined by like epic Fortnite gamers. This amazing Terry McLaurin rookie card is graded 9. It's a autographed Terry McLaurin rookie card, and I'm going to be giving it away to one podcast reviewer. So go drop your reviews on the podcast wherever you're listening. You can get 2 entries. You can double dip. And yeah, so go leave that review. And now let's talk about the Thursday night game, San Francisco, Tennessee. And we'll also talk about the Saturday games too, because we got Saturday games again. I love Saturday games. They're great. Anyways, Jimmy Garoppolo is facing the Tennessee Titans, and Jimmy Garoppolo, people were high on him this past week. I was pretty high on him. And he disappointed with 12 points. He gets Tennessee this week. And I don't have confidence in Jimmy Garoppolo. Why? Because he's underwhelmed in several favorable matchups this season. Look no further than last week. Atlanta, 12 points. It wasn't a good game for him fantasy-wise. Week 11, Jacksonville, 15 points. He doesn't capitalize on these easy matchups. Against Detroit, even, he only had 13 points. So Jimmy Garoppolo, as juicy as these matchups are, he is nothing more than a streaming option in my eyes. And if you've made this far, you probably aren't looking for a streamer. So Jimmy Garoppolo, I am staying away from, despite the favorable matchups, just because I don't have a history of him capitalizing. Ryan Tannehill, he had a rough game, 7 points. In San Francisco, they're looking strong. I'm not interested in Ryan Tannehill this week. Most people aren't starting him, but there might be a few. 37% of the leagues says are starting him. Ryan Tannehill is not someone that I'm interested in either. Now, the running backs is where things really get interesting for San Francisco, because Jeff Wilson, he had a great game. 21 carries, 110 yards, and a touchdown, 5 yards a carry. Tennessee, not the strongest defense. And we just got notification that Elijah Mitchell will be out once more. Jeff Wilson is in line to become, for the second year in a row, a playoff savior. He came in the end of the season for injury to Raheem Mostert, I believe it was last season, and carried teams that had just lost running backs due to injury or COVID potentially. He carried them to victory. Week 15, 12 points. Week 16, 27. Week 17, 23 points. And he is looking like he will do that once again. So he is the running back to own. And if you own Jeff Wilson, you better be starting him. Deebo Samuel is the other running back to own. He's a running back now. It's really strange, but it's working. He's the number two wide receiver in standard leagues, number five in PPR leagues. He's not seeing a lot of volume through the air, but Deebo will get his points. He's been one of the most consistent fantasy options all season. He hasn't slowed down. And with them struggling with the Elijah Mitchell injury, I would expect a great game from Deebo Samuel as always. Brandon Ayuk, he is startable, but I am not starting him. 63% leagues are starting him, which in my opinion, it's far too high. He hasn't shown us a reason to play him in a playoff matchup. You know, this is the playoffs we're talking about. I'm not crossing my fingers for Brandon Ayuk when this could be a very low scoring, kind of sluggish game. I don't think Brandon Ayuk will shine. So I am not starting Brandon Ayuk despite what everyone else is saying. And then George Kittle, of course, you're starting him. Expect great things. Expect great things from Kittle. Deontay Foreman and Hillard. So Deontay Foreman, he practiced in full today, which is good news for him. He had 15 points week 15 against Pittsburgh. He's running the ball very well. Over the past few weeks, he's averaging about 4.5 yards a carry. And, you know, against San Francisco, I am fine starting him. He's not my favorite start, but I'm not scared too much of Hillard. I think that this is a bit of a tandem, but I don't think Hillard completely destroys Foreman's value, because you're not starting Foreman to have this running back one and then suddenly Hillard makes him an RB2. No, you're starting him as kind of low-end RB2, RB3 flex, and Hillard just makes sure that he doesn't get higher than that. So Hillard really takes away the ceiling of Foreman, but Foreman should be a solid start as a flex this week. AJ Brown, they're saying he might play, which would be great, except for all the leagues I own him in, I'm out. So that sucks. If he's playing, I'm playing AJ Brown. I don't care about the re-aggravation risk. I am playing AJ Brown if I have him on my team. Unfortunately, I have him on my team and I'm not in the runnings for anything more than the toilet bowl. And Julio Jones, he can't be started. He's not injured, but you just can't start him. 0 points against Pittsburgh, 7 against Jacksonville. Julio Jones, one of the best of all time. But we have to move on. We have to move on. So if you're holding on to hope of Julio Jones, move on. Move on. Those are really the only fantasy players that I'm interested in. None of the tight ends for Tennessee are really calling my name. But yeah, So those are my thoughts on that game. I do think that San Francisco will win this game, but I don't think it'll be a very high scoring game. It's actually a good game to bet the under on, in my opinion. And then I'm not going to go fully into depth on Cleveland and Green Bay or Indianapolis and Arizona, mostly because with COVID being so rampant right now, we got another COVID outbreak just came in on my phone. Anyways, with COVID being so rampant, I can say, you know, a lot of information and within a day or two, it will be totally irrelevant. So I'm just going to very briefly talk through them. But before I do, I want to remind you all that this podcast is sponsored by Prize Picks. And Prize Picks, it's my favorite way to make money while watching fantasy football. All you do on Prize Picks, you download the app, super easy to sign up, email, whatever, payment information, then do promo code PROFIT, PROFFET, and they'll match your initial deposit 100% up to $100. Then you select different players, either your favorite players or just players you like the matchups. You select the over or the under on their stats or their fantasy scores if you think you'll go over or under. And you bet it, and when you get it correct, you make money, real cash. It can be deposited straight to your bank account pretty much instantly. It's a great way to make money. It's super fun. And when you download it using promo code PROFIT and make your deposit, you are automatically entered to win a Josh Allen rookie card graded 9.5. It's a Panini Select 9.5. It's worth about $700. I'm giving it away at the end of the fantasy season to one lucky Prize Picks depositor. So go download Prize Picks today. Alrighty, thank you, Prize Picks. And moving on to Green Bay and Cleveland, this is just my initial reactions to these games. Like I said, I'm not going to dive super deep into it because I will be back on a Thursday or Friday to go more into depth. But Aaron Rodgers, starting with full confidence, he's been a machine. Aaron Jones, I'm starting and I'm not betting on volume. I'm betting on efficiency. 7 yards a carry against Chicago, 4.4 against Baltimore. He's gotten in the end zone and I'm starting him. And I know that there's a chance he has 8 touches, but there's a chance that he converts that into 20 fantasy points. That's the type of player Aaron Jones is. But that also means that I am comfortable starting AJ Dillon as a flex. Not as a high ceiling, but more of a high floor flex. I don't think AJ Dillon will give you 5 points. I think he will score above 10 this coming week, which in the days of COVID and injuries to running backs, that's hard to come by. So AJ Dillon, I do like as a flex. And then Davante Adams, of course, we are starting. And Marquez Valdes-Scantling, I don't have the confidence to start him. I don't have the confidence to start any of those other pass catchers. Baker Mayfield, not starting. Nick Chubb, I am starting. D'Ernest Johnson, I'm not starting. And Jarvis Landry, I'm not starting. We're not even sure if he's going to play. He's on the COVID list. But against Green Bay, I'm not confident in him coming back. So, you know, I guess the only Cleveland player I'm playing is Nick Chubb. It's a shame because Cleveland is a decent team. They were better last year, but there's such little fantasy value now, especially with Kareem Hunt injured. So there's one player on Cleveland that I'm interested in, and that's Nick Chubb. So those are my thoughts on that game. And we'll quickly talk about the Indianapolis-Arizona game. Like I said, I already talked about Kyler Murray. I'm not super worried about it, but I'm not valuing him as a high-end quarterback right now, like we had hoped for. And then Carson Wentz, I'm not starting. You know why? Because very few quarterbacks have the ability to complete 5 passes in a game for 57 yards. And Carson Wentz is one of them. And I'm going to play pretty much any quarterback who hasn't done that before in his career. So I'm not interested in Carson Wentz. Way too low of a floor for my quarterback. Jonathan Taylor, of course, we're starting. Full confidence in him. I think Michael Pittman bounces back. He's had several inconsistent stretches. He's coming off a terrible game where he got ejected for an absolutely stupid reason. And against Arizona, a defense that is struggling a little bit, I think Michael Pittman has some success and scores about 14 points. So I do like him as a flex option. Christian Kirk as your wide receiver 3 or flex, I do like as well. And then AJ Green as a lower end flex or wide receiver 3, I do like as well. Rondale Moore, I'm not interested in right now. For some reason, they only throw screen passes to him and they don't use him down the field. Zach Ertz, he's one of the best tight ends right now. And I'm starting him against Indianapolis. He's injured, but it doesn't seem too serious as of now. So we'll keep an eye on that. But make sure you handcuff him if you're, you know, make sure you handcuff him because this is on Saturday. You don't want to make a silly mistake early on. There are going to be so many tight ends that haven't played. Pick up another and make sure that you don't get screwed. Alrighty, so those are my thoughts on that game, just brief. And like I said, I'll be back on Friday to go more into detail with all the starts and sits of the week. I'm sorry if I don't seem super energetic today. I guess I'm just a little tired and my voice is a little sore. But the information is the same, even if I'm not as enthusiastic. I'm just really tired right now. But thank you all for listening to this episode, and I hope you enjoyed it. And if not, let me know on Instagram. Tell me ways to improve the show. And I'll be back in a few days with all the starts and sits. And as always, see you next time.